And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama, and soon to be Tennessee, as we go live in Chattanooga here in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, Right Side Radio going to be a multi-state, and we appreciate the fact that we get a chance now to reach out to a Northwest Georgia, North or Southeast Tennessee, Northeast Alabama regional mix. I mean, it's gonna be great. Chattanooga, WGOW out of Chattanooga, coming up real soon. Hey, listen, we're going to switch gears. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm just calling this the Now What. I mean, Now What? I don't know about y'all, but I am so glad that 2024 is over, personally. I'm actually glad the whole last 4 years is over. But we've got a couple more weeks to go. Things are still happening. Biden's still pushing out billions for Ukraine. He's still trying to pay off student loan debts. It's madness. He's still vacationing right now in St. Croix, believe it or not. But what can we expect coming up pretty soon? And I thought, you know what? Who better to talk to us about that than John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. And he's on the line right now. Chairman Wall, how are you doing?
I am doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Well, we're glad to have you. Thanks for making time. By the way, I know you live in the Athens area. I guess everything okay with you since the tornado the other day?
No, you know, I was west of the track of the storm. But yeah, I was actually going around the courthouse area yesterday, looking at going over some of the damage with some of the elected officials. And I'll tell you, it is so sad, some of the historical aspects there. But very thankful there was not a loss of life. You know, in the broad scheme of things, Athens was very lucky, especially with no warning. But everything well here, and ask for everyone's prayers for those who are suffering damage up here in Athens.
Well, yeah, I'm glad to hear you were there and walking the ground. Thank you for doing that. All right, so let me ask you this. Are you glad 2024 is over?
You know, I really am. This has been a year. It's hard for me to believe we're already at the end. I want to highlight the fact that, remember this year, for all those listening, this election cycle will be talked about in political history classes and political science classes for hundreds of years. I think this is probably one of the most historic cycles that we've ever seen, whether it was the drama on the Democrat side, which had their nominee, President Trump coming back for a second term, not back-to-back, only the second president in the history of our country to do that. There's so many nuances and so many things. But I think, as I look back over 2024, I am absolutely glad to have it done. I am tired. I'm ready for a break. But I'm also proud of what we accomplished. What we accomplished as a state party here in Alabama, raising Alabama's profile, the first ever presidential primary debate, hosting presidential candidates. But what really has me motivated to keep working hard is that I think the American people sent a message November 5th. And that message was the status quo is over. The American people want to change. They want a government that puts them first. American first is not just a talking point. This is what the American people want. They want a government that is smaller, more efficient, doesn't spend as much money, does not try to control their lives, and that makes a priority defending their rights and freedoms and helping them have a safer, more successful life. And I think that gives me hope for the future.
Well, I agree. In fact, here in a little while, I'm going to switch to a third dipper. I'm calling it the end of an era because there are some who are saying that what we just passed through was a second, what they call progressive era, and that the progressive era is coming to a close with the election of Donald Trump and the mandate. And we're even seeing it on a worldwide scale in many ways. We're seeing a shift to the right in global politics. But let me ask you this. So Chairman Wall, who also happens to be in leadership at a regional level for the Republican Party, what can we expect? I mean, what do you, and I mean, not just like things are going to be better, which I think they are, like what can we expect in a practical sense? What do you expect to see happen in the first 100 days, maybe even the first day of the Trump administration?
Oh, I mean, look, this is the question, right? And I think it actually ties into the finishing thought we just had, which is there is a shift. The American people want change. And I think, you know, this was a referendum on the policy of the Democrat Party, of the wokeness, of the out-of-control spending, out-of-control nanny state, putting people back in charge. But in order for that was not just a referendum on Democrats. That's also a referendum on Republicans. Because the American people have told us what they want. And now it's our job, it's our elected officials, need to have a backbone, need to fight for the American people, and need to actually deliver on their promises.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the key over the next 2 years. We'll get to the midterms, but also the next 4 years. So I think we're going to see, you know, there's going to be some docking. You know, what does come out of this initial start? Is it the American First Trump agenda? Or is it something else? Is the establishment trying to make a hold? And I think we're going to see a lot of interesting things happen before Donald Trump actually takes the oath of office on January 20th. We got, you know, some other, the speaker's race coming up, the different things coming that are going to define our government far past just Donald Trump. And I think we're in for a very interesting time frame. We're going to see very quickly. I think you're going to see a lot of executive orders day one from Donald Trump. You're going to see, you know, things on the border, actually some serious efforts to control illegal immigration and to keep America safe in that area. I think that's going to be one of the main policies you see day one. You're going to see some other stuff with tariffs day one, and really making sure that we're getting a fair deal on the global the global scale. We've been being ripped off for years, especially by China.
Absolutely.
And I know there's debate over the best way to address that, but I think keeping our head in the sand and not addressing it at all is absolutely the wrong approach. And so I'm fascinated to see what that, you know, what those immediate responses are. But well, I think those are two areas we're going to see action day one.
I think day one's going to be very gamey. I think it's going to be like serious business. And I think more so than we even saw with the Biden administration with, you know, a stack of executive orders. I think we're going to see executive orders and policy rollouts on day one with Trump. But here's the thing, John, I'll just say this, having been a card-carrying Republican for a number of years, a member of the state party, a county party leader, and an elected official myself, I say all that to say, a lot of times Republicans get in our own way. We wind up having fighting over the minutiae so much so that we lose the big picture sometimes, like the fight over Obamacare. We couldn't get it repealed when we had the chance. Now, Speaker Johnson's race may be one of the first tests of the new Republican, you know, band of brothers, so to speak. Can they get past that point? Trump came out and endorsed Mike Johnson today for re-election. Some say it's only because he doesn't want the distraction of a speaker's race during his first 100 days. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Is Mike Johnson going to survive the vote this coming week, or is it going to be okay?
Yeah, you know, that, in my opinion, is one of the biggest questions asked. I don't think he makes the first vote. Now, I'm not really saying he does not stay speaker, but I think there are going to be enough congressmen who vote against him to take it to a second ballot. And I say that because there's also political strategy with any committee type vote. I know we've already seen at least one congressman, Congressman Massey, say he's not going to be voting for him. It only takes three. And so, with that in mind, you may see no votes just to say, okay, let's set up some new policies, or let's make sure we actually make a priority on cutting spending. I think most likely Speaker Johnson does eventually get the votes, but, and I could be completely wrong here, I think it's not on the first ballot. And that's just my prediction, kind of looking at the lay of the land as we have it right now. It's very, very hard in today's political culture to get a vote. To get, they'll only have three votes needed to stop it in the first round. I think it will be there. And the Democrats are not going to bail him out on a vote for Speaker. And I think that takes this definitely to a very interesting position. And that's going to be the main story, I think, headed to next week. I mean, he has been close to Donald Trump. He was traveled with him a lot, final weeks of the campaign. That endorsement does not surprise me. And I think it does go past just he doesn't want distractions. I think Speaker Johnson has been courting his support for months, and it's going to be interesting if that support can hold.
Well, all right. So that being said, what do you know about Alabama's delegation? I mean, we have, I can think, and you don't have to name names you don't want to, but I know that Barry Moore is a member of the Freedom Caucus. I know that Gary Palmer has been in leadership most recently and is looking at some good appointments coming up. I know that we've got some seniority with Mike Rogers and Robert Adderholt. I don't expect anything out of Terry Sewell, but what are we expecting from the Alabama delegation on the vote? Do you have any indication that any Alabamians are going to wind up going one way or the other?
You know, I think right now all of Alabama's votes will probably go for Mike Johnson. Okay. That would be my suspicion. I think the possible defectors are going to be the people that you saw that voted against the budget. Just a couple, it's not the budget. Let me get the wording right. The continuing resolution on the budget.
Right.
The folks who voted no, the congressmen who voted no on that, I think are your most likely to vote no on or to vote for a different candidate on the speaker's race. And we saw all of Alabama's representatives vote yes on that continuing resolution. So I would expect all of Alabama's congressmen at this point to vote with Speaker Johnson.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see. So Mike Johnson's got a great pedigree. I mean, his work with Alliance Defending Freedom as a constitutional lawyer, his time as a member of the Freedom Caucus, I believe. But all that to say, he's got an impossible job right now, having this narrow of a majority. Because like you said, it takes is three, and it can be three. By the way, some people think it's purely on principle. Sometimes it's also purely on politics. They're gaming for something. They're holding back on their vote until they know they're going to get an appointment or something in a bill or whatever else. So no telling what's going on behind the scenes right now.
No, that's exactly right. You're going to have there's three different motivations, right? You got the genuine policy guys who are like, I don't like this. I don't like Speaker Johnson's policies. Then you're going to have the folks, like you said, who may be holding out saying, I want an appointment to be chairman of a subcommittee or a main committee. If you don't agree to give me that position, I'm going to vote no on. And so leadership is an extremely hard place to be in the U.S. House of Representatives. It's going to be very interesting. I think Speaker Johnson's weakest area for me when I'm looking at him is some of the spending. And can he convince the fiscal hawks, the folks who really want to bring down the national budget, who really want to cut spending, can he convince them that he's the right guy to vote for Speaker, and will he actually make those hard cuts in the coming months?
Well, I think that's going to be the test. The reality is, though, I'd much rather the test be with us in charge than us not in charge. So,
amen.
So let's go ahead and get that out of the way. I'm just glad 2024 is over with. I'm glad 2025 is upon us. My pastor at Church of the Highlands has named this the year of new beginnings, and I'm looking for it like right away.
No, so am I, and I think the opportunity is there, and I'm excited if the Republican Party can deliver and our elected officials can come through on the promises, rebuild the economy, close the border, help people have a better life.
Yeah,
I think there's a very bright future. We have a chance to take this country back.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Chairman John Wall, look forward to talking to you again sometime real soon, but in the meantime, thanks for making time for us today.
No, always good to be on the show.
All right, see you, man. Well, so you heard it. I mean, I think there's definitely some work to be done. And there's also, I mean, listen, I'm not a fan of Speaker Johnson's most recent effort, or I won't say lack thereof, because I can't imagine the work that went on behind the scenes. I've been in a little bit of political machinations before. I know what it's like trying to get something done when there are people holding out on votes. But nonetheless, I mean, when you went from a 1,600-page spending bill, to a, 150-page spending bill overnight, that meant you could have done it at first. So why did you not do it at first? So there's things like that I look at and go, where was the wisdom? Here's the next question. Who's going to do a better job? Is there somebody who can get the votes that can do a better job without jimmying up the works? Is it Jim Jordan? I think Jim Jordan would be awesome. Is it somebody else, a member of the Freedom Caucus, Andy Biggs? I don't think he can get the votes. Is it Byron Donalds? I like Byron Donalds a lot from Florida, but does he have the experience? So all these things weigh in, and the reality is, here's my thought. My thought is right now, Mike Johnson goes back in, because I am so avidly in favor of the Trump agenda starting on day one that I don't want to see a month of wrangling trying to figure out if anybody can get the votes to be Speaker. I say go in there. Beat him up a little bit if you have to. Debate openly. Call out his weaknesses. Maybe hold off on the first vote if you have to. But eventually get it done, and let's get going on the work of the people. And if he can't sustain, once the presidency and the Senate and the House are all in one party, if he can't do the job at that point, he should step down and get somebody else then. But right now, before we even start, that's not when I want to see the engine stalling. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. I got plenty more on that. I even got clips from Trey Gowdy and Karl Rove talking about this very thing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. It will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, dropping truth bombs. That's what we're doing, dropping truth bombs up in here. Hey, by the way, I got to remind you guys, so tomorrow is our last day on 101.1 out of Birmingham. By the way, I will also point out that I have just chosen to give the Right Side Media staff tomorrow and New Year's Day off to watch football and be with family and do the things. So tomorrow you will hear replays and best ofs, we call them, with segments from other shows. Just know that. However, those of you that are 101.1 ruffians, we are rolling off of 101.1 after 2.5 years starting after tomorrow. So January 1 is the first day without Right Side Radio playing on 101.1 out of Birmingham. Now, you can still get us out of Huntsville, and soon you can get us out of Chattanooga, and every day you can get us streaming online through a variety of platforms. So here's what I would love for you to do. I'm literally asking you to do it. If you're a 101.1 ruffian, if that's where you've been listening to the show every day, I'd like for you to explore your options, like maybe even right now. Go check us out online. My wife listens to the show on her phone every day because you can stream the show from rightsidemedia.org, our website. You can stream it from YouTube at Right Side Media. You can stream it on two places on X, which is one is at Send Phil Williams. That's my personal account. Or you can go to Right Side Media's account. You can go to Rumble. You can go to what else? Twitch. We're all over the place. So what I'm saying is go check one of them out. If you go to a platform that has a subscription, you know, or whatever else, just click on it. Like subscribe on YouTube. It does not cost you anything. You just click subscribe. All that does is it signs you up so you'll be able to get to that site quicker next time. And you'll get all the content because on YouTube, we've got not just the show every day. We've also got any number of short videos. We've got four separate other video podcasts. We got all of our stuff up there. Hit subscribe and join the 1,000+ who are already subscribing and just be a part of the Ruffian family forever and ever. Amen. All right, I'm in this number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Now What? So what should we expect? When I get back from this break, I've got a clip from Trey Gowdy interviewing Karl Rove. Now, I don't care how you feel about Karl Rove. The guy's still smart, and he's got some thoughts on what we should see in the next, you know, 100 days or so. And I'll just tell you, I think that Trump's going to come in and come in hard and fast. Why would he not? I think there are things he's going to be doing with executive orders. I think he's going to roll out a legislative agenda and ask for the House and the Senate to jump on it right away. I think he's going to be looking at foreign policy issues. I think he's going to be looking at socioeconomic and cultural issues. I mean, what might we see in the first 100 days? Well, there are going to be things he can do on day one. He can put out directives. I fully expect that on the cultural side of things, that Trump will declare that the Trump administration will absolutely 100% define male and female as biological male and female at birth. And what that means is it ripples through the government and you do away with all the transgender agenda being filtered through various departments. I really do believe you're going to wind up seeing transgenders being banned from military service. I think so. I think you're also going to see tariffs being put on a number of foreign countries that have trade imbalances with us and do it on purpose. I think you're going to see some stuff happen. And then you're going to see some allies sitting up straighter and some enemies cowering down in the background. We got more on this. I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like you just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Meatloaf Monday. Meatloaf Monday. Yes, it is. By the way, every day feels like Friday right now. Have you noticed that? Does it feel that way to you?
Yeah, it's been a weird week.
We're in the twilight zone right now.
I know. I've made quite the number of trips up and down from Huntsville the last week.
Yes, you have.
I've been making another tonight.
your car knows the road.
Yeah.
Every day feels like Friday. But you know what? It's Meatloaf Monday, so let's just hang in there. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Now What? And I'm talking about, all right, so we won. The dog caught the bumper of the car. Now what? Now what do we do? Well, the Congress is going to have to get its act together. You know, the leadership vote didn't go the way I would have liked in the U.S. Senate. John Thune is going to be the I think it was John. Yeah, John Thune is going to be the Senate Majority Leader once the new Senate is seated. The question of who's going to be the Speaker of the House is going to be up for debate and voting this coming Friday. Trump is calling for them to get their act together real quick. Just go ahead and support Mike Johnson. Let's move forward, guys. What he doesn't want to do is have the narrow margins of the House disrupted by a lack of leadership and an inability to start working the legislative agenda on day one. What's going to wind up happening is this. Trump gets sworn in on January 20th. In fact, right now, Charlene and I plan to be there. This is a generational opportunity. We were granted the opportunity to be there, and we are stoked. So yeah, plans are being laid right now for I'll be calling in from DC. That being said, Trump's going to get sworn in, and he's going to immediately roll out a legislative agenda, and we need to have a legislative process available for it to happen. Mike Johnson, I mean, listen, warts and blemishes notwithstanding, I really do believe that he is probably going to sustain, and I agree with John Wall, who was on a few minutes ago, I really do believe that there's going to be a healthy debate, and I'm for it, a healthy debate on whether or not he botched it on the spending bill most recently. I did not appreciate the way that went down. It was clear to me that when they brought out a 160-page bill, that they didn't ever need the 1,600-page bill that he had brought out at first. And I am so ready to get back to what's called the regular order of business, where they get away from doing continuing resolutions. That being said, all that to say, Mike Johnson does have some good street cred in conservative world, and Trump has endorsed him as of today, saying, please, go ahead, guys, and reconfirm him. Let's move forward, because what you don't need is Democrats sitting back and laughing while the first 100 days is frittered away with Republicans fighting amongst themselves. Let's don't do it. Now, if Mike Johnson has to go later, make him go later. I mean, we had, Kevin McCarthy step down. We had Paul Ryan step down. We had John Boehner step down. You can lose a speaker in mid-cycle. You don't have to wait till next year. If he botches things, if it's not going well, if he's not able to herd the cats, then get somebody else. But I don't think we're going to get somebody else this Friday. I think we're going to get through it. And if there's no speaker, then we can't get anything done. You can't bring Bill to the floor. You can't move the process forward. You can't get something done. And so what I'm saying, I just had grandchildren walk in the studio. Holy cow. Hi. How are you? Come over here and see me. Hang on a second. You guys, I am having a moment because granddaddy is sitting here just loving on the fact that he's got grandbabies. And hey, you, how are you doing? Give me a surprise. Surprise. Here I am. About came out of my skin when y'all jumped in the studio. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. I'm glad. Hang on. I'm talking to the people, okay? Okay. I'm talking to the people. I got a clip I want to play. JP, we got a clip from, this is Karl Rove on Trey Gowdy's Sunday night show this past Sunday. He's talking about this very thing. What are we going to do next? What are the Republicans going to accomplish? What can we expect as they move into the first 100 days, beginning on day one? And let's play it.
It's a Sunday night in America. Both parties have challenges, but Republicans have the challenge of governing while Democrats are trying to figure out how they lost and looking mostly in the wrong places. The great thing about living in a constitutional republic is there's always another election. So your fates can change, but not unless you learn lessons in your defeat. After Barack Obama won, autopsies and epitaphs were written on the GOP, and 2 years later, Obama lost the House. Whatever mandate he had sure didn't last very long. And then Obama created a demand for a very different style of politics, which led to Donald Trump. Very few people predicted when Donald Trump left office in January of 2021 that he would return 4 years later, even stronger than when he left. History is not always kind to the party in power. 2 years is what you should plan for, although Trump has defied history before.
2 years.
So how to hit the ground running, and while Democrats are evaluating why they lost, Are they even looking in the right places? Are fringe elements drowning out blue state governors capable of winning in red and purple states? Joining us is Fox News contributor, Mr. Karl Rove. Welcome. Karl, if you plan on having 2 years, where should the GOP start and how can they keep this small margin coalesced?
Well, they could start by focusing early next year on things where success is possible and where it's...
Okay, hold it for a second. I want to point something out. So Trey Gowdy's right. Keep in mind, does Trump have a four-year term? Yep. But the party in power is not always in favor within the 2 years. And the narrow margins of the House are so, so slim that it would only take, five, six, seven congresspeople losing their seats in the next election just a mere 2 years from now that would unhinge the ability to get anything done. The bulk of what we have to get done has to happen in the first 2 years. We have to make great strides that can't be unwound by the Democrats if they take the House. I don't think they'll take the Senate, although it's close. I think the next election cycle is actually going to be worse for the Democrats in the U.S. Senate. We've got to get as much done as we can in the first 2 years. That point needs to be just ingrained in our minds. Go.
It's being demanded by the American people. Some of that can be done through the executive, for example, rolling back a lot of the rules and regulations and unnecessary red tape that's burdening American business, particularly small business. But it is going to require action in Congress. So if you look at the political landscape, the thing that they have the best chance of pulling together something and getting it done relatively quickly, meaning within a matter of months, is probably something to do with the border, because even Democrats are now realizing that this is a political problem for them and a huge challenge for the country, and that we better get our act together.
All right, is that where it stopped?
All right, people tend to remember.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. We're going to have another clip on that in a minute, but he's right. What can we do immediately? There's an air of immediacy that has to happen. The people that brought the mandate to the polls need to see something like there's a short-term gratification thing that has to be met. We cannot waste the opportunity. So I think what you're going to see is a variety of things. I think you're going to see a series of executive orders that are deliberative, well thought out, and legally researched, and they're going to be a part of what you've been hearing in the campaign for the last year and a half. I think you're going to literally see day one, you're going to see executive orders on the immigration issue, executive orders on the rebuilding of the wall, executive orders on tariffs being put in place on Mexico. You're going to see remain in Mexico reinstated. I think you're going to see any number of policies that are exactly what he said. I think he's going to also direct that the deportation of illegal immigrants begins immediately and direct all U.S. departments to participate in whatever necessary way to effect that. And by the way, don't think they hadn't thought this through already. That whole deportation thing, the idea that they're saying, well, it's going to be hard, we're still working on, they've got a plan. And I think that plan is going to involve the military. I think it's going to involve ICE. I think it's going to involve DHS. I think it's going to involve state authorities cooperatively. And I think you're going to wind up seeing criminal elements. And I think you're going to see Tom Homan kicking in doors. I do. I think Tom Homan is going to, here's what I bet is going to happen. I bet you're going to see some of the criminal elements like Trinde Aragua, who've been getting a lot of news headlines in places like Aurora, Colorado. I think you're going to see ICE and DHS doing raids on known criminal elements who are here illegally, and I'm going to bet you that Tom Homan is going to come to the press conference. He might even stand outside the door with a vest on, watching them go through the door. You watch. But that's the kind of thing that America needs to see on day one. I think you're going to see, culturally speaking, I think you're going to see, like I said earlier, the transgender agenda is going to get stymied. How amazing would it be for Trump to say that a biological man is born and a biological woman is born and you can't change it. And that's the way the government will act from now on. Now, that shouldn't have to be. But what does it do? I believe it picks a fight. I believe it picks a fight that we have to have. I believe it picks a fight that someone will sue for, because the transgender agenda is so prolific, they'll put money into the fight and get it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and let it become the law of the land. I think it's going to happen. So there will be executive orders that deal with policy. There'll be executive orders on foreign policy. There will be executive orders stymieing the flow of funds that were being, you know, the checks that are being written here in the final days of the Biden administration. I think you're going to see a curtailing of money to Ukraine. I think you're going to see a curtailing of the use of foreign assets for our energy sector. I think you're going to see a curtailing of money going into the funding of the electric vehicle push and all of those things. I think you're going to see a change in policy in a big way. But then he's going to have a legislative agenda. And we got to talk about that when we get back from the break. But the legislative agenda is key, because what he does with executive order can be undone by the next executive who comes into office. What happens as a matter of law through legislative act is what stays in place, and they have to work harder to unwind it. And that's what we need more of. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're in number two of the Triple Dipper. It might be a two-dipper day. I don't know yet. We'll see. I got several text messages. Let me catch up on some of those. Brian from Huntsville says, a new year is welcome. He says, my 60th birthday is 21 January. My birthday present is the presidential inauguration on 20 January. Yeah, bro, I am right there with you. I am just 2 months after you on the 60.
I consider it my birthday present as well.
Absolutely. It's a good one to have, right?
It is, yeah.
For those who care about politics, this is quite the birthday.
Yeah, it is.
Either that or it's a spoiler.
Last time around it was a spoiler, but this time it's good.
George from Huntsville says, if there's no speaker, then the president does not get sworn in. Actually, it's not the speaker who swears him in. It's a certification of the vote you're thinking of, and I believe they will certify the vote before they get to that point, and that's where the Speaker of the House is in. But there's always a speaker pro tem. And so I think the business of the House can still get done, George. And I think what you're thinking of, like I said, is a certification. The swearing in is done by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. So I don't believe that's going to be an issue. Jeremy from Madison says, was Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, illustrating that pork was no longer going to be a factor in omnibus bills by bringing the 1,600-page bill before the House? Nope, I don't think so. I think he was showing pork, and I think he was showing way too much deference to Democrats, and that's what got everybody mad. I mean, I think if Speaker Johnson had taken the hardline stance he did and brought the smaller bill on day one and announced why he was doing it and saying that he was not going to put up with this anymore and we're getting back to the regular order of business, I think everybody would have gone, all right, we get it. Now, I understand why we wound up passing a CR this time, but the CRs have got to stop. The continuing resolution process has got to stop. It is not responsible politics. It is not responsible budgeting. It's not the way any of us would run our business or our homes, for that matter. But let's go back to the topic, though. Now what? So the now what? We've got the now what is like the BBC has an article. The BBC has an article that says Trump's going to make people's head spin when he gets into office. I got grandbabies on the radio right now. I can't talk ugly about politics. I got a grandbaby girl back there behind me saying sweet things. All right, you guys, I'll see y'all at the house in a little while. Love you. Bye-bye. All right. Yes, it's a real studio, and yes, family is awesome. I cannot ask for better than this. But Trump says he's going to make heads spin. He did. His team right now, BBC has a BBC? Yes, Phil, the BBC. BBC has an article that came out about a month ago saying Trump says he will make heads spin, which is a quote. He also said that, by the way, his team is preparing a flurry of executive orders. The first week is going to be a flurry of executive orders. Now, what might they deal with? I've got a section here on immigration of the border. I've got a section here on January 6th. And I think that's going to be a thing. Listen, man, I'm not going to be surprised to find that's not something that we don't do away with on day one. January 6th pardons. He did an interview with Kristen Welker. Whew. Kristen Welker did an interview with Kristen Welker on Meet the Press. And he told her, he said, pardons? Yeah. He said, I'm going to do it very quickly. He called the convictions, many of them, unfair. He did say that there's going to be a case by case basis because he said, in his own words, a few of the people did get out of hand. But the reality is, there's a whole bunch of January 6th pardons that I believe could come on day one. I'm not going to be a bit surprised. And I think they should. I think that will also signal the end of an era if we can do that. I think you're also going to see, and this article does speculate, that he will make sure that the Paris Climate Accords are not going to bind us up. That the drill, drill, drill thing that he said he's going to do, he's going to do. He's going to prioritize U.S. production of oil and gas, and some of that can be done through executive order. I would not be a bit surprised to find the Keystone Pipeline rekindled if indeed the same people who invested in it before are willing to do so again. Why do I say that? Because they're tired of getting beat up by government changing every 4 years. But the media reports right now are that Trump's team is putting together a massive tranche of executive orders and policy positions that you're going to see rolled out. And it's going to be largely what you would hope for. Now, the article I've got here from AP, whew, liberal. What do they do? The first thing they did, it's the AP. They want to know what he's going to do on abortion. What's going to happen on abortion? Well, what do you think is going to happen on abortion? I mean, it's not like the U.S. Supreme Court hadn't already spoken. Trump's going to do away with abortion. What is your fascination with killing babies? But the thing I think you will see, though, is there will be an executive order that repeals any effort by the Department of Defense to give people special leave and compensations to travel out of state in uniform to get an abortion. I think that's gone. I think that's going to happen, like, very quickly. Taxes, I think you're going to see tax cuts on things like earned tips, Social Security wages, overtime, he's going to have tax, but those have to have congressional approval. All right, we get back. I got a little more from Karl Rove, but listen, this is, y'all, the shopping list is so long. Can we get it all done? If we can stop fighting amongst ourselves, yes, we can. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. Alabama and, oh, by the way, soon to be Tennessee. I mean, I got to find a whole new way of doing this gig. I mean, I got to be able to describe the states that we're in. But so just so as you know, coming up here in a couple of weeks, we are proud to announce that Right Side Radio goes live on WGOW out of Chattanooga, which is going to have a listening area that takes us into northwest Georgia, all the Chattanooga region of Tennessee, and down into northeast Alabama in sections that we have not been able to reach with our other signals. So this is going to be cool. I am looking forward to it. I will say, though, there's also been a change in our Alabama footprint. So we are rolling off of 101.1 out of Birmingham. Contract negotiations came time. The contract term was about up. In the renegotiation, we decided that the end result was we are better off parting ways. So we are, as of tomorrow, is our last day on 101.1 out of Birmingham. If you're a 101.1 ruffian, all you Right Side ruffians out of that 101.1 demographic, just know this. It doesn't matter. We got other announcements coming in the near future if things keep going the way I believe they are. However, in the meantime, you can always go anywhere in the big wide world to the World Wide Web and get us on a variety of places. We stream the show audio and video every day, live. You can see it on rightsidemedia.org. That's our website. You can see it on two places on X or Twitter, at @SendPhilWilliams, my account, or at @RightsideMedia, the company account. You can see it on YouTube especially. And on YouTube, you get all kinds of content. You get all our short videos. You get our video podcast. You get all the stuff there. So just check us out. We're there, man. And I'm pretty excited about the footprint that we're putting onto Right Side Radio. Right Side Media, the parent company, is growing. And we're glad to have all of y'all along for the ride. All right. I got a couple of text messages. Let me get those real quick. Dorothy from Elkmont asked the question, will Trump be able to clarify the 14th Amendment and do away with birthright citizenship? Thank you. Thank you very much. Birthright citizenship. He says he's going to change it. Now, the question is, what does the Constitution actually allow? So here's what I believe is going to happen on the birthright citizenship thing. I think he's going to have to issue an executive order, which is going to trigger a lawsuit, which is going to have a U.S. Supreme Court hopefully take up the matter and give it a constitutional review, which requires what is known as strict scrutiny. And when they do something under a case of strict scrutiny, they have to apply the language of the Constitution as closely as possible to the intent of the original legislation passed, and then hopefully come out with a ruling that says birthright citizenship was never intended to be, if you walked across the border and dropped your baby in the sand, you were suddenly a U.S. citizen. It doesn't work that way, or the baby was. I don't think it was ever intended to be that way. But I think it's going to take the Supreme Court of the United States weighing in on that before we'll ever really have that one clarified. I got a text here from Brian from Huntsville saying even the progressive Justin Trudeau from Canada wants the Keystone Pipeline back on track. Energy security and influence against tariffs by the USA. Yeah, listen, there were a lot of jobs. You and I were talking, JP and I were talking during the break about the Teamsters, and one of the reasons why they pulled their support from Democrats was the you heard an interview with
yeah, it was the Teamsters
Sean Fain?
Not Sean Fain. He's UAW. I can't remember the name of the Teamsters guy, but okay. him and Tucker did a podcast where they talked about that and how Kamala was shocked that they didn't back her.
But part of the reason he cited was the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah, Keystone
right?
Pipeline. They took thousands of jobs from that. And other areas like EVs, and you know, they're killing the union workers, but then they expect their support. It's pretty funny.
Well, I think you're gonna see some of that change like right away. And listen, we had a clip, and I'm gonna go back to it again now and pick up another piece of it. There's a Karl Rove. I got clip number two coming, buddy. You ready? Karl Rove interviewing with Trey Gowdy. Talking about what the GOP needs to do. In the first segment we talked about, he said part of it is do things that they can see and get done like right away, and don't dally. And one of those he said is immigration. And everybody wants immigration addressed. I mean, that was one of the economy and immigration were the top two issues throughout the entire campaign season. But let's hear what he had to say going further in the discussion. Trey Gowdy interviewing Karl Rove.
Well, I think Senator Romney was right. They went far too left, and it colored people's perception of who they were. And when they came into the set of challenges that were at the top of everybody's mind in 2024, inflation, the border, America's position in the world, our military strength, the cultural fabric of the country, the Democrats were on the wrong side of all of those issues. And they didn't seem to get it, particularly the cultural side of the issues. And the American people said the more they heard about where they were on those kind of issues, the more they said, well, I'm nowhere near that. You're against the values that I hold dear. And you toss on top of that the broken border, the rampant inflation, a weak military in a dangerous world. And the Democrats were in a pickle. Now, they came close. Don't get me wrong. They cut our margin in the House. They lost the Senate. They lost the White House. But they lost the White House by 1.5% in the popular vote. We ought to remember that because the Democrats have big problems. The Republicans have lesser problems, but they still have to do a better job of explaining who they are to get a more substantial majority than a 1.5% victory in the popular vote.
All right, stop there. Okay, he is not wrong. We have a mandate, but that mandate does not carry with it huge margins in terms of the politics, right? We have a mandate. I believe if you look at the electoral map, if you look at the popular vote map, if you look at just the county by county in the United States map, even in California, you'll find more red than blue. Blue is becoming a very rare color when you look at the political map, except that when you consider the population base in those blue areas are in massive metropolitan areas like New York City and Chicago and San Francisco and LA. All right. But what does that mean to us? It means that while we may have a mandate in terms of what the majority of America wants, that the majority is slim enough to where we should be concerned with whether or not we can do what we said we would do, whether or not we can get the job done, because the public swung our way because the left had gotten so far left and radical. And he pointed out the sociocultural issues, and what he's talking about there are things like, you know, transgenderism and the idea of gender-affirming care for kids and putting agendas into school and trying to do away with Title IX protections for women and just on and on. DEI, this being the thing, critical race theory. Listen, the left got so culturally, progressively far to the left that it drove voters to the right. And we cannot lose sight of that. And we need to know that not only were we heard at the polls, but that now we'll be heard in D.C. on a daily basis. So what we have to see happen now, and Karl Rove is not wrong. I think Karl Rove is a moderate. I think Karl Rove is but he's also Karl Rove is not afraid to be a truth teller when the time comes. And he's telling Republicans right now that we can lose this if we don't jump on it and message it well. Because we have notoriously in the past gotten in our own way constantly by not being able to follow through on what we said we would do. Because we fight amongst ourselves. I'm not asking for a watering down of the message. I think we need to drive forward with some of the things that are the red meat and just get her done. There's no time for moderation right now. There has to be a change in the way we spend. There has to be a change in our foreign policy. There has to be a restoration of our military. There has to be a securing of our borders. There has to be a shifting of the allowance of the left to impact our children. And if you get all those things done, and by the way, message it while you do it. Yell it from the tops of the hills. Tell the world we are back. And I guarantee you, we'll be able to keep the majority we have in the next two-year cycle. But don't forget, I mean, we're looking at 2 years to get it done. Now, I tell you what, I did this on purpose. I literally let the last two dippers kind of flow together. It's almost as if I've been talking through dipper number three while I was still in dipper. Dipper number three is called the end of an era. And that was a great segue into just a few minutes here with it. It's going to be a three-dipper day, dude. Like three.
We'll see if John considers it a three-dipper day.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Some are calling this that we're seeing right now the end of a progressive era. What does that mean? Well, so historically speaking, politics goes around, comes around, right? Politics is cyclical. It comes in cycles. And in the early parts of the 20th century, like 1905-ish to 1920s, you saw what was known as the progressive era. People got away from big corporate giants and began to move towards what some consider at the time, what now would be conservative policies, felt very leftist back then. But what I'm saying is there was a whole generation of Americans that began to see things in a different light, and it was called the progressive era. And it wasn't all for the best. And the progressive era, modern speaking, has really been the last about 6 years. The last 6 years have seen a shift in the progressive politics going from what used to be kept behind closed doors to being touted on billboards. You know what I'm saying? Drag Queen Story Hour would have never been thought of in a broad sense until the last few years. Gender-affirming care, what a ridiculous concept that is. It's really gender non-confirming care. The idea that we would have surgeries on children has never been thought of. The idea that we would have our military being used as a place to spend federal dollars to fund abortions would never have been thought of. The idea that we would say that we're going to disrupt the entire auto industry to push a EV agenda would never have been thought of 6, 7, 8 years ago. We've got to get back to the era of common sense. And that's part of what we're saying here. Newsmax has an article that was very interesting. Came out yesterday. It says the progressive era ends as the global shift to the right gains momentum. You're watching in Germany, in France, in Italy, and certainly Donald Trump's win in the United States. You're watching a world shift because of things like economic uncertainty, record immigration, just basically political fatigue. People are tired of being told that they're wrong for feeling the way they do. They're tired of being told that it's okay for the government to shut you down. They're tired of being told that the government is the most important thing, and if you don't like government, you're a racist. They're tired of it. So the reality is we are moving out of a place where progressive politics on a global scale appears to be taking a setback, and some are calling it now the end of the progressive era. And I hope it's true, man. I do. American Enterprise Institute has a quote in here saying it's a broad shift that goes across countries. Working class people are just pissed off, he says, about immigration, about culture war, about relatively poor economic performance, all of it shaping the working class for the 21st century. The European Union is seeing issues You got in England, I love the fact that you've got Nigel Farage making grounds with his Conservative Party. He's one of my favorite politicians worldwide. If you want to see a great speech, go Google Nigel Farage Brexit speech to the EU. You will laugh and enjoy your moment. But that's where we are. I think that we're looking at the now what is going to be, you better get it done and get it done fast. I think Speaker Johnson is probably going to survive, but he may have to go through a couple of votes and some name calling. And then I think the Republicans better get busy, and they better get busy quick. And it better be some red meat in the getting busy. Because I don't think we're going to have the luxury of claiming we got the next 4 years to get it done. No, you don't. You got the next two. And then you have to fight to keep the two after that. That's where we are. Badger from Athens has checked in. He says, in the nonsense, return pride to the great USA, and in 2 years, we ought to sweep the polls. I agree with you, man. That's what we got to do. All right, let's take a break right there. Last break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.